Welcome to the Faith and Investing Podcast, brought to you by the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. We are an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management, where our aim is to inspire an authentically Christian practice of modern investing. This podcast features conversations with thought leaders in the space of faith and investing, and also functions as an audio digest of the articles we feature in our online journal at faithandinvesting.com.
Welcome back to the Faith and Investing Podcast. I'm Matt Gallion with the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. Today, we are pleased to present the final podcast in our series centered around James K.A. Smith's thesis that our habits and practices shape our hearts. Last week, Amy Sherman and Jason Meyer dove deeper into the relevancy of this idea to our cultural practices in the world of investing. But you may be wondering how it impacts your own life. In today's article, Dr. Amy Sherman takes a look at a number of common modern-day financial behaviors and their subsequent effects on our heart. What is the spiritual impact of constant market monitoring? What about the pursuit of profit above all else? After exploring the ways these cultural financial liturgies can shape the human heart, Amy offers up some alternative practices, counter-formational activities that depart from the world's patterns and direct our hearts toward the ways of God instead. Dr. Amy Sherman is the editor-at-large for the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing's Journal for Faith and Investing. She also serves as a senior fellow at the Sagamore Institute, where she assists congregations and nonprofit ministries in effectively advancing mercy and justice in their communities. She is the author of 7 books, including Kingdom Calling, Vocational Stewardship for the Common Good, and her latest book, Agents of Flourishing, Pursuing Shalom in Every Corner of Society. Here is Amy reading her piece, Formational Financial Liturgies.
Waking Up to Formative Financial Liturgies by Amy L. Sherman. Jesus taught that where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. Matthew chapter 6, verse 21. We usually interpret this to mean that our heart motivations direct our investments, and they do. If we are passionate for justice, for example, we will deploy resources towards efforts to pursue justice for those crying out for it. But it's also true that things we invest in can shape our hearts. Jesus seems to be emphasizing this dynamic in Matthew 6, since he puts the treasure part first and the heart part second. It's the same dynamic Winston Churchill identified regarding architecture when he said, paraphrasing, that humans shape our buildings, and then our buildings shape us. In short, not only do our hearts act on our investments, but our investments also act on our hearts. When our investments are guided by the world's story of what investing is, this can malform our hearts. This is because the contemporary finance sector is loaded with assumptions, images, rhythms, and practices, what philosopher James K.A. Smith calls liturgies, that have power to influence our desires and inclinations. As investors seeking to be faithful to Christ, who tells us to guard our hearts, we need to be alert to these dangers. Subhead, God's story and the world's story of investing. The world's story of investing is that it is often all about pursuing the highest risk-adjusted rate of return we can find. God's story is that investing is about supplying companies with the financial capital they need to produce truly good goods and services in a just and stewardly manner. In God's story, God owns everything and calls humans to steward the world he has made. This high calling includes being faithful trustees in the fields of business and finance. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 15, God calls humans to cultivate and keep his good creation. This work involves developing the latent potential of creation and bringing forth its full yield. However, humans are not free to make whatever we want out of God's creation. The command to keep means that the things we produce must be in keeping with creation's beauty and goodness. Put briefly, it matters what we make. And that means it matters what we empower to be made through our investments. This is why profits are not neutral in God's eyes. Profits that emerge from products or services that are not in keeping with the beauty and goodness of God's creation are not good profits. Investors benefiting from such profits are in effect receiving what the scriptures refer to as ill-gotten gains. See Proverbs chapter 1. The world story of investing focuses on short-term gains in part because of its essentially fearful and pessimistic approach to the world. It assumes a world of scarcity and ruthless competition. By contrast, Christ followers understand that King Jesus means to renew all things in our broken world and calls us to participate. There are opportunities for win-win economic exchanges. With their eternal perspective, Christian investors can act from hope and love rather than from fear and greed. Subhead: Malforming Effects of Modern Financial Liturgies. Chart A depicts some of the ways the world's assumptions and practices around investing can covertly malform our hearts. Chart A is called Effects of Modern Financial Liturgies. It has two columns. The left-hand column is titled Modern Investing's Liturgies. The right-hand column is titled Heart-Shaping Effects. The first row on the left-hand column, the first liturgy about modern financial investing, is that its focus is on that the investment makes money, not how it makes money. And the heart-shaping effects of that is that this can produce a sense of, as long as I get mine, I don't care what's happening to others. The second liturgy of modern financial investing is the idea of pursuing profit at any cost. The heart-shaping effect of that is that it can harden our hearts to the cries of the oppressed. A third liturgy is the idea that we invest in the market and abstraction, and that our focus is on numbers more than on businesses. And the heart-shaping effects of these are that this can fuel a magical view of finance that's divorced from real companies, and it can blind our hearts to the true purpose of investing. That is, empowering specific activities by companies that have real-life consequences for real-life people. The next liturgy of modern investing is that some modern investing practices, such as day trading and the quarterly reports that firms produce, encourage a short-term focus or mentality. The heart-shaping effect there is that this can exacerbate our fallen hearts leaning towards instant gratification and erode our capacity for patience. The next liturgy is that increasingly, personal investment applications and platforms are adding gaming elements to the investment experience. The bad heart-shaping effect there is that this can nurture an addictive, speculative, or gambling approach to investing. Finally, another liturgy of modern investing is that constant moment-by-moment reporting on the markets and easily accessible financial apps for cell phones fuel obsessive focus on investors' portfolios' short-term financial performance. The heart-shaping effects is that we compulsively check on our investments, and this nurtures fear and/or pride. It also takes one's eyes off of God as our Jehovah Jireh, who provides for our needs. Practicing investing in the context of the modern financial sector without clear-eyed recognition of its assumptions and habits can be corrosive. Our hearts can become narrowly focused on our own prosperity rather than on God's invitation to join His mission of bringing flourishing. We can forget the embodied, relational nature of investing, thinking that it's only about abstractions and numbers. We can be sucked into habits of obsessively checking our portfolios. And this nurtures fear when our portfolios are down, or it encourages pride when they are up. We congratulate ourselves on our financial prowess. It also intensifies the temptation to trust in our wealth rather than in God for our security. Subhead, counter-formational practices. The dynamics we've been examining indicate that faithful investors may need to engage in some deliberate practices that can counter the malforming influences of modern financial liturgies. Chart B depicts some suggested actions of resistance. Chart B is titled Counterformational Activities. It has three columns. The first two repeat the first two columns of Chart A, and then adds a third column about counterformational activities. Remember that we said that the first liturgy is that the focus is on that the investment makes money, not how it makes money, and that this can produce a sense of, as long as I get mine, I don't care about what's happening to others. So a counterformational activity is deliberately educating ourselves about what companies we are investing in. The second cultural liturgy of modern investing is about pursuing profit at any cost. And the heart-shaping effect is that this can harden our hearts to the cries of the oppressed. Some counter-formational activities are soaking in Scripture's emphasis on God's passionate concern for justice and for the vulnerable, and practicing prophetic lament. A third modern investing cultural liturgy is the idea that we invest in the market and abstraction, and our focus is on numbers more than on businesses. And we said that this can blind our hearts to the true purpose of investing. So the counterformational activity is to intentionally remind ourselves of investing's true purpose. We can also practice what we've called in the journal relational investing. Another cultural liturgy of modern investing is that some of the practices like day trading and company quarterly reports encourage a short-term focus or mentality, and that can just strengthen our fallen hearts leaning towards instant gratification. So the counterformational activities could be things like eschewing a daily attention to our stock portfolios, checking them like every 6 months or once a year, and cultivating patience through practices like silence and solitude. Another cultural liturgy of modern investing is the idea that personal investment apps and platforms are adding gaming elements to the investment experience. And the heart-shaping effect is that this can nurture an addictive, speculative, or gambling approach to investing. The counterformational activities here are avoiding such applications where possible and practicing fasting as a means of strengthening ourselves against all forms of addiction. Finally, the constant moment-by-moment reporting on the markets and easily accessible financial apps for our cell phones that fuel obsessive focus on our portfolio short-term financial performance can lead to the heart-shaping effect of compulsively checking on our investments, which, as we said, can nurture fear or pride. To counter this, we need to establish intentional rhythms for our financial reviews, meditate regularly on scripture texts such as Psalm 46, which reminds us that it's God, not our financial portfolio, that is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Exercises like meditating on scriptures focused on God's sovereignty and provision, lamenting over the injustices that many workers worldwide experience, and fasting all strengthen our hearts. These activities direct us to trust God alone for our provisions. They increase our compassion towards neighbors far and near. They remind us that our investments involve us in global economic systems that have concrete influence on people made in God's image. Becoming educated about the ways in which our investment returns are gained helps us make wiser decisions as stewards of God's money Instead of investing time compulsively tracking our portfolio's financial performance, what about spending it in learning a little more about the companies in which we are invested? Subhead: Investing is contested space. Although we often fail to recognize it, the world of investing is contested space. God's story and the world's story posit contrasting ideas about what investing's goals are and about the time horizon we should focus on. The world's ideas are enacted in all too familiar practices and rhythms that we can think of as normal, but that act on our hearts in subtle, corrosive ways. Paying attention to the effects of our investments on our wallets is far from sufficient. Faithfulness requires us to watch over their effects on our hearts with even greater diligence.
Thank you for listening to the Faith and Investing Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please be sure to subscribe, share with a friend, or rate and review us on your podcast app of choice. Your rating and review allows more people to discover helpful resources on faithful investing. To find out more about the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, visit us at faithandinvesting.com. The communication herein is provided for informational purposes only and was made possible with the financial support of Eventide Asset Management, LLC, known as Eventide, an investment advisor. Eventide Center for Faith and Investing is an educational initiative of Eventide. In some cases, information in this communication may include statements by individuals that are current clients or investors in Eventide, and or individuals compensated for providing their statements. In such cases, Eventide identifies all relevant details of the relationship, the compensation, and any conflicts of interest within the communication, which can be found at faithandinvesting.com. Information contained herein has been obtained from third-party sources believed to be reliable. Statements made by ECFI should not be interpreted as a recommendation or advice pertaining to any security. Investing involves risk, including the possible loss of principal.